Well, we're going back again and picking up in our teaching, really dealing with, so far we've been talked about creation, and we're dealing now over in the areas dealing with judgment, is we're looking at, we were dealing with redemption, because we were looking, really, redemption and creation started off together. You know, man always looks, and you know, this is one thing is really is to study the Bible and letting the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, is the fact that most of the time, we look at all these things and look at redemption comes one day down the line here. And redemption was set by God from the whole thing in the beginning. Redemption was already in the plan of God, what God was doing. And so in creation, redemption was already running. But we're looking in areas concerning judgment. Last week, we talked about, looked at the fall of Adam and Eve. And we looked at the fact that Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. We listed that last week. Because there's a principle. And it's one of the things, as we find out in Scripture, you'll find out that things never change. God's principles always stay the same. And if you look from Old Testament to New Testament, if you study the two and understand, there's principles of God that follow the same exact from Old Testament to New Testament. And they're how God operates and works, because God's kingdom never changes. It never changes. What God did, you know, 5,000 years ago, he's going to do things in the same manner now. It hasn't changed. God doesn't change. You know, if we would look at the redemption of man, the types of redemption that we have in the Old Testament are pictures of the redemption that we have today. In other words, God's redemption stayed the same as what he was doing. He brought it into to fullness. As God is being a redeemer, he always was and is. And it's always required of God to do certain things in certain ways. He has to do them in certain ways. And it's required of it because they're laws and principles of the kingdom. They change not. And the fact we looked at Adam and Eve, and we looked at things of Scripture, when Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, in other words, sin, we talked about the last week because we looked at some scriptures of the land vomiting you out. In other words, sin will always bring destruction. Sin always turns things and everything goes sour. And we need to understand this because, you know, eventually, as tonight we're going to look at the Noah's flood, because we want to look at some principles that are laid down there concerning God dealing with man and sin, what sin does. And see, this is one thing, as we look at this age and time that we're in, and people are, you know, spending all this time trying to save the planet and doing all these different things and people doing stuff to no avail. If man doesn't change spiritually, you cannot stop destruction. It is 100% impossible. We want to look at something here. I just want to take from Deuteronomy 28, which is dealing with the curse of the law. Because God said, in other words, God's word, God had, in Deuteronomy 28, the beginning of it, the beginning of the chapter tells us, and God speaks to the children of Israel and tells them, look, if you do my law and you do all these things and you follow them and you obey them, he names the blessings. But if you don't, and he went on to tell what the curses were. Well, I'm going to tell you, the curse line is huge. Because the majority of the chapter, almost the whole thing's taken up of what happens when, in other words, when people don't follow or walk in the light that they have. Understand that is the most important thing you can do as a Christian is not try to communicate to accumulate as much knowledge as you can. It's live what you got. Most Christians' biggest problems are they don't live what they know. And they keep trying to get more. And don't walk in the light they got. And they don't realize they curse themselves. They cause themselves. You know, the word not done is a curse to you. The blessing is in doing the word. The blessing is not knowing the word. The blessing is in doing the word. So you want to do it. And so practicing. So one thing is I found out as a young Christian, when I look back over the years, the things that God did for me as a young Christian, some things were just phenomenal. But I look back and I know why he did. Because I didn't have a lot of knowledge, but what I had walked in. And God would bless my life. And what happens, you accumulate knowledge, then the more you know, the more is expected of you by God. That's the way it is. We do that with people. You know, I don't expect out of a third grader what I do out of a senior. You know, you don't expect the same. You know, if you expect the same out of a kid that's five as you do, you know, today we do. You know, a kid's 35, we think if he acts like a three-year-old, we think, well, he's our kid, he's cool, he's okay. We don't stop and say, you know, my kid's an idiot. We demand out of them to do things. You know, I would never do for my kids what I did when they were 3 years old. You know, but a lot of people would today. They'd do the same things. that we're living, the more sin. More sin dominates, the crazier people get. And that's why we're seeing what we see. Sin is dominating and ruling. Now listen to Deuteronomy, because it talks about what happens in a land when people don't live right. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, now I'm going to read some verses here. We're going to jump through, four verses, because I'm not going to read down through all this stuff, but just to give you an idea. This is what happens when they didn't follow the word concerning the land that they were in. He said, in verse 26, he said, your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. You know, we're seeing today more and more animal attacks. They have all this thing about now on the East Coast of the United States, all these shark attacks and all this kind of stuff going on. This is just part of this is going to keep happening. It ain't going to stop. It's going to get worse. It is not going to get... Look, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I know what the Bible says. Most people have this positive, what they call a positive outlook on the Bible. And you know what it means? I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to only see what I think is good, and then this is negative, is bad. I'm sorry, if the Bible says it's going to happen, whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. As sin continues, we're going to find worse and worse things happen. In verse 28 says, the Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. Boy, aren't we living in about the most confusing society you ever want to live in and being around in the nuts. And verse 43, it jumps and says, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you. And you shall come down lower and lower. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. That's what will happen. We're on that road. We're moving on that road. Why? The more you sin, the more sin dominates. These things will come to pass. You look at the fall of any nation. You go back to any of the empires that fell. You go back, you find these things. The more they lived, the more heathen they got, the worse they got, the more these things took place. And the heathens, the aliens, always end up taking over their nation. Always. Always end up taking over their nation. Look at the Roman Empire. Who took them over? The barbarians. They let those heathens in their nation and used their armies, and they ended up taking them over. See, we're doing it today. We're taking people that aren't even citizens and putting them in our military. See, everybody thinks, oh, these are good things. They're good people. Well, find out what happens. No nation will ever survive. No nation has. You know, you go around the United States, you look like at England. England's armed military is full of foreigners. They aren't English. It's filled with them. In fact, they probably dominate most of them. They've taken them in from all over. Australia, 2 years ago, started the thing now. They're taking in all these other countries. They take their people into using their military. And the United States is heading on that road. It'll never work. It'll never work. The people in our nation don't want to protect our nation. They won't give their lives for nothing. You know, they're just going to take care of themselves and look after themselves and let somebody else do it. And what happens? We're going to lose our freedoms in our nation is what's going to happen. And because, you know, people just doing their thing. Now, in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, again, so I want to say, because, you know, the Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established. I want to show you that this is not just one place. In fact, I could go through many things, but I just got some of them. Leviticus, the 26th chapter, verse 22 says this. This is God speaking concerning Israel. He said, I will also send wild beasts among you. Now, this is if the people don't live right. Which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Again, and going back over to Deuteronomy in the 32, in verse 24 says, they shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence, and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts, with poison of serpents of the dust. Ezekiel 5 and verse 17, I'm just going to read through these and you can write them down and look at them later. He said, so I will send against you famine, wild beasts, and they will bereave you, pestilence, and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then Ezekiel says again in Ezekiel 14:21, for it says, "For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem." He said, "The sword and famine and wild beast and pestilence to cut off man and beast from it." So we have these things as well. When people get into sin, these are the things that will start happening, and these are things that start taking place. And so we need to see these. What happens? The land here, you know, God gave Israel a land, but Israel ended up being taken out of their land. Now think of all these centuries of what's going on. Israel was finally restored back to the land. But you notice one thing is Israel's had huge problems because Israel still has rejected the Messiah. Nationally, they have rejected the Messiah. And you know what? God put them back in the land, but man, they're paying for every inch of it and all the time. And there's a cost. There's a cost. And it just is in our land is the same way. It's the same thing. And people, we need to get a hold of this and understand why things are happening. You cannot go against spiritual law and things turn out. It'll never happen. It won't work. Can't do it. And so what we're going to look at, we're going to go over into Genesis again and back to Genesis. In Genesis, I want to say this, is in the fifth chapter. I'm not going to read the chapter through. You can go down and go through it and read it. The fifth chapter, what it does, it's a genealogy. And genealogies in the Bible, people don't like to read all the names of people and all that stuff. But genealogies are important in Scripture. Because if genealogies are not correct, it's just concerning the Messiah. Jesus Christ had to be in a certain genealogy, or if he wasn't the Messiah. If anybody could prove it, could prove that he wasn't in it, then this whole thing's a fraud. He had to come from the loins of David. So you have to be able from David follow it out from there. But then David had to follow in a line from Abraham. And so what we have in this one here starts with Adam and comes down through and comes to Noah, and there was a line of people, because when we go into chapter 6 and look, it's important about this genealogy. And as we're going to go in and begin to, well, as we go into this to look in chapter 6, in entering into it, I want to show you something, because these genealogies are important because they deal with they used to use a term when I was in Bible school, they would call the godly line. In other words, these were the line of people that followed and walked with God, that God covenanted with on down through, and that eventually came to the Messiah coming out. People had to be within this certain genealogy. And this is what we have. If you follow the genealogy from Seth to Noah, it's down in line. You come into Enoch and Methuselah. All these ones were in line of the ones, people who walked or followed God. At the same time, you had others who did not. And we want to see something, because looking at this, we want to find in reading in the beginning, because we need to clear something up, because people teach wrong things from the Bible in some of these things that I'm going to go, is because men get their ideas about things, and you've heard me say this, let the Bible interpret itself. You follow the terminology of the Bible, what the Bible says, because the term is used, sons of God, and people, we're going to find out, they say that angels came along and were having sex with women on the earth and all that stuff. It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. That never happened. The sons of God were the ones who walked and followed God. And the others were called men. That's what they're called. Now, we want to see, because it's used, this terminology is used. If we go over to, I want to show you in Isaiah, because I want to show you the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have in Isaiah 44, this terminology we want to find out is say it here, because it's important, its usage, because it's going to talk about men who don't follow God. People don't follow God, and what they're called. Now, in Isaiah 44, verse 10 says, "Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing?" In other words, these are people who are worshiping other gods. They're worshiping other gods. They're making gods. He said, "Surely all his companions would be ashamed, and the workmen, now what does he say? These workmen, these ones that do this, they are mere men. the term man. This is one thing is why you don't just, when you read a term in the Bible, just all of a sudden, just because you got to read things in what the context it's talking about to define it. Just like with the word men. Sometimes men is talking about all of men, but sometimes it's not. And you have to read. Here it's talking about these are mere men. It says, let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yea, yet they shall fear, they shall be ashamed together. Now, we go over to the New Testament, and you go to 1 Corinthians, to the third chapter. We see that Paul, now understand, Paul was a Pharisee, and Paul was also, but Paul was also very learned in the law. You'll find this in Paul's writings. Paul, lots of his writings, he wrote according to, in fact, if you look how much Paul used the Old Testament in his writings, because they didn't have the New Testament, And Paul used the Old Testament, and Paul was very knowledgeable about the Old Testament, and his writings lots of time were in line with how they talked in the Old Testament, and what they said and did. Now, Paul says here, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, and in verse 1 he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Verse 3 says, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So the terminology man here, when he's using the word men, he's talking about the sinner. He's talking about the person that don't follow God. And so, see, he's talking like the old covenant. He's talking like back down here. We're going to find out they're talked about men when we look at this in Genesis, the 6th chapter, about the terminology that's used here. There is just like in the New Testament, we have the sons of God. We have the ones who belong to God, the followers of God, and the ones, like he said, you guys are Christians, but you live like mere men. In other words, you act just like the people that don't know God. You live like the people that don't know God. That's what he's saying. He's using that terminology. So we have over, we're going to come in to look here back to Genesis, the 6th chapter. And back in Genesis 6, because we want to read now and starting off of what happened here. So you can see, and we're going to go through some scriptures, a number of scriptures and explanation in through scripture, because you got to take scripture line upon line on scripture and put it together, because people get ideas about things. It's really important that we understand what the scriptures are talking about. Now, it starts off in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 1. Now, this is in line after God had just... Now, understand that the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. Men broke this up. So, it just got done mentioning the genealogy. Now, it's going to talk about the guy at the end of this genealogy who is Noah. It's going to talk about him. It's now, in doing so, it's going to tell us about his time that he was in. And it's talking about the people on the earth. It's not talking about angels. It's not talking about... Now it says, verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them. Now was it men began to multiply? Now he's going to talk about these. Men began to multiply and their daughters. Now, we know what we're looking at. There's ones who... we just, if you read chapter 5, you just read the ones that are the sons of God. These are the ones that are following the line of God. Now he's going to talk about what's going on with the men in the earth. The men. These are the ones that don't follow God. These are the men in the earth. These are the ones that aren't following. So their daughters. Now he's talking about what happened to their daughters. He said, now listen, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives of themselves of all whom they chose. Now there's people who teach, and I've heard this so many times, the angels were having sex and produced... this is the biggest bunch of bunk and junk. If angels could do, if demons could do that stuff, they'd be doing it today. What would stop it? I mean, if it operates within the spirit realm, they can do it. Well, angels aren't human. They're not. I mean, they ain't going to produce... I don't know if people get this stuff. I think they just drink a lot or something, or they should drink a lot. I don't know. I just don't know which they ought to be doing. But people come on. These are talking about, because we want to look at what is that, the actual discussion. It says, and the Lord said, listen, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, I want to say this as we go on to look at this. When he says their days will be 120 years, he is speaking, this is the Lord saying what's going to happen. In fact, from the time that this was spoken, it was 120 years till the flood came. And this is what he's talking about. He's giving man 120 years. He's going to give man 120 years. You find all through Scripture. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt for 435 years. And God said this, that he held them there for this purpose, till the time of the Amorites was fulfilled. In other words, he gave them 435 years to repent. And they didn't. And he took the land. The land vomited them out, and Israel got the land. Israel went in, lived like hell, and got thrown out of the land. The pattern never changes. It never changes. That's why we have the rise and fall of nations and all this kind of stuff and things going on. That's why you see all this stuff. If you follow, God's people, whether you go to the old covenant or come over the new covenant and follow the church, history always follows the spirituality of the church in the New Testament. When the church is not spiritual, the world falls apart. That's why we have the messes we do. That's why it takes place. And when spirituality leaves the earth, paganism takes over. The devil runs the thing. The thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy does a good job. And the church sits back and, I don't know why. Oh, look how bad these people are. And they never examine themselves, see how bad they are. And we need to do that. What I want us to look at here is because of this principle, in other words, what happened, this is what began to take place. The men in the earth who aren't following God, they start having good-looking daughters. And what happens? The godly line starts letting their children marry into them. Do you know, that's one thing is about religions. You know, you get religions of people who are really strict in religion. You take anybody like, say, a Muslim. A Muslim is very strict. A strict Muslim would never allow their child to marry off into something else. Never allow. Only Christians allow their kids to marry heathens. That you know, they think, well, you know, this is love. It's love. Yeah. It's love. And they started doing that. Well, I've learned this and watched this over the years. I've been around long enough, and by experience, I started to see this when I worked at Reese Candy Company. I watched people who got born again and that stuff walking with God, and they'd turn around and start either, you know, sometimes marry somebody who wasn't a Christian or somebody who was a very minimal Christian. Every time the person is minimal, they always dominated, and that person always became less spiritual than followed after them. Every time. Every time. Every time. I never saw it, and over the years I've never seen any difference. You know, these people, I'm gonna marry somebody who's not spiritual, but I'm gonna lead them and I'm gonna make them spiritual. Yeah, hide and watch. See how well that one goes. It ain't going. It ain't happening. You don't do that. People always end up following. Now, if we look at the principles God laid in the Word, in Exodus 34, we go over and look what God told His people. Now remember, this principle is not a new one. Under the law, this is not new. This happened, these things happened back before the flood. And God's telling the children of Israel now. He's telling them now about this. Now in Exodus 34 and starting at verse 14, God says to the children of Israel, this is in Exodus. He says, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, he is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play with the harlots with their gods. So in other words, what you don't do. You don't do that. See, there's certain things. These things are not put into Scripture to try to inhibit us. He's trying to save our lives. See, people go against these principles and they pay for it for the rest of their lives sometimes. Pay for it for the rest of their lives. You know, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that place. Now look at Joshua. This is Joshua, the 23rd chapter. This is Joshua. Joshua took the children of Israel into the land. He's the one that divided the land to them. And Joshua came to the place where he was going to die. And before he was dying, this is the 23rd chapter. This is the second to last chapter. Joshua's going to get ready. He's getting ready to leave. He's an old man now. He's going to be gone. But he's going to tell the ones that are left. And so in verse 11, Joshua's going to talk to these folks. And he says, therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Now, he's talking about that. If you love God, you won't do this stuff. That's what he started off with the other one at. You love God, you don't do this stuff. See, number one, everybody wants to get married, wants to talk about the person they love. What about God? See, if you love God right, you ain't going to pick the wrong person. If that person becomes a big thing of your love over God, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. It's loving God first. Well, he says down here, he goes on to say, look, he says, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer divide out these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. You know what Israel never did? Never put those people out of the land. You know what we do today? We have churches to bring heathens in so they can live among us. Right in the church. That's what the seeker-friendly church is. Bring the heathens in. Have them in and accept it. Oh boy, we're just all loving and getting together. I'll tell you what, we're having a time. It ain't going to go well. It's not going to go well. Now, let's go to the New Testament because we find the principles never change. Principles don't ever change. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. This is what we want to look at. See, these principles, these are given for our protection, to protect us. It's number one, I don't want to be thrown out from the blessing of God. And, see, many people are doing these things and they don't realize what they're doing. People wonder, why aren't things working out? Yet they have done things to cause themselves for things not to work out. You know, well, God loves me. Yeah, but what about your love for Him? What about your love for Him? Well, you know, I love Him. When I got time, you know, just nothing else to do, and you know. In 2 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, these things are important. You know, I'm not against the people in the world. I want to reach them. But we're not going to reach them joining them. Never will you ever reach them joining them. You'll never reach them joining them. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, I have brothers and sisters, that ones that live like heathens. But you know, they're all coming. God told me, you know what, and I don't hang out with them in their stuff. They know what I am and what I'm, and I don't play their games. They're my brothers and sisters, I love them, but I ain't joining in their nuttiness. And you know what, I've done better for them than if I would have joined their nuttiness and to play and just, oh, I'm going to be the nice guy. Because God told me, because I walked and I did what He wanted me to do, He said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in, and He's been doing it. He don't bring them in. He brings them in because you walk in the blessing, not because you try to go do it your way and join up with them and think, well, if I get them to really like me. The only thing they're going to want you is to be like them. I know, that's what my brother said. They want me to be like them. I ain't going to be like them. I'm not going to reach them being like them. That isn't how you do it. See, we call that being loving. That's not being loving. If that's being loving, Jesus was the most unloving guy that ever walked the face of the earth. He ate with sinners, but never acted like one of them. Never told them it was all right. You know, people always use think, well, you know, in the harlot, he told them, you know, he wasn't going to judge her. But he said, go and sin no more. Don't do it. Stop this thing. He didn't tell her, it's okay, I'm just going to love you, you're going to be all right. No, you ain't going to be all right. You keep doing it, you're in big trouble. See, we got to get ourselves over thinking right. Now, I said before about this 120-year thing, we need to understand about this 120 years. What was Noah? What was Noah doing? See, we look at Noah building the ark, but Noah was not just an ark builder. For 120 years, Noah was a preacher. 2 Peter 2:5 says this. Concerning God, he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness. He said, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. What was he? As a preacher of righteousness. God put a preacher in the earth. Can you think? You think about this. We're dealing with, the children of Israel come into the land. Only two men follow God. The rest of the men don't. We have Noah comes to flood time. There's only one guy. You know, the Lord told me, I never forget when... I asked the Lord, after I got born again, I said to the Lord, I asked him why he ever spared my life, because I did a lot of crazy things over the years. I mean, I was in Nam and never got hurt, and I was, you know, I did all kind of crazy things. Things I did with cars and driving, some of the nuttiest stuff you've ever seen in your life, crazy stuff. I'd do some of the craziest driving, doing stuff, jumping things and doing stuff and crazy. But all the drugs, overdosing on drugs, doing all kinds of crazy things, you know. No friends and stuff. People died. I lived. And I said, I got born again. I said, Lord, I said, why on earth am I alive? I said, man, the people I knew did less than I ever did and are dead. Why? And the Lord said to me this. He said, I spared you because of your father. See, this is one thing is why you want to live right. See, I watch people. You know, they do everything to try to spare their kid, but they don't live right. And things don't go well. My dad did never do things just to try to please me. The one thing is, my dad always followed what he believed. Always. No matter how mad it made me, mate. Whatever I thought about it, he didn't care. He lived what he believed. But the Lord said this to me, which I didn't know, and I had never heard anybody ever teach it, and I've never heard anybody even say anything about it since then. It's the fact of it. But the Lord said this to me. He said, I spared Noah's family because he was righteous. He said, the scriptures never say that they were righteous. And I didn't know. I went over and read the story, and it never says that his wife or kids were righteous. It says he was. I'll tell you, walk right. Walk right. It's a huge thing. See, the best thing, this is one of the things, I learned this stuff as a young Christian. You want your family to follow God, you walk with God. Quit trying to make them walk with God all the time. You just keep getting walking with God. The Lord taught me concerning, like with Wanda, you know, as one time as I did, you know, he would always deal with me about my walk and that kind of stuff. And I've told the story before, like one time Wanda got over and I noticed she wasn't spending much time in a word, or she wouldn't, you know, doing things. And I said to the Lord about it. And the first thing he said to me was, well, why don't you spend more time? And it really did offend me, because I spent a lot of time in the Word and in prayer. I was spending a lot of time. And it made me mad at first. And I thought, well, God must be right, Ed. Shut up. Just kidding. Just see, most people say I had to be the devil. I'm so wonderful. I just, you know. And so I just started spending more time with God. Next thing I know, I wanted to spend time with God. You see, one of the things to do is, we have very few leaders today. What today is leadership is this, trying to tell everybody what they ought to do and not doing it themselves. That's called leadership today. That's the majority of leadership we got in this country. And I'm talking about churches and everything. I know ministers that preach stuff, and I know God, they preach stuff. They don't live it at all. I know ministers that preach healing, and I'll tell you what, if they didn't have doctors, they'd be deader than a doornail. They'd never walk in the area of things that what they teach about healing. They never walk in it. They talk about it and blow the wind about it. And money, areas of money, telling people to give, and they aren't generous in giving. They don't do it. They talk about stuff, they don't even do the stuff themselves. You got to do it. The thing to do is to do it. It is enormous because, especially the areas you have authority over, and it's dealing with the areas of family. You have authority. Is it important that the leader become a leader and walk in the right way? It's a huge thing. It's an enormous thing. The biggest thing the devil has done these last, the devil always does, he's done it in any time of history, is divide the family and turn around and, everybody's going out doing their own thing. The woman does this, the man does that and that stuff. And after a while, the kids are all doing their thing and they're wondering, why, what's happened? I don't know what's happened to my kids. Well, they're acting just like the mom and dad. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's got their own lives. I always tell you, people, you don't get married, you don't have your own life anymore. Shut up, sit down, keep your blab mouth shut. You just gave up your life yourself. You want to have your own life, go have it. But don't drag other people and mess their life up. it's the dumbest thing in the world. There's things and responsibility. The greatest thing of it is, if you take the responsibility, the blessing's incredible. And most people never will know the blessing of it, because they'll never take up. They'll follow just like the world does. What world says marriage is, Well, we're all equal. We all have our say. Well, go ahead. Everybody have your say. See how well it works out. Yeah, we'll find out. Well, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, And say, no, don't do that. You need all you can get. You can keep every bit of it. Don't be handing it out to nobody. Most people ain't got enough. They done give too much away. Hallelujah. That's good preaching in here. But these are things that, see, these are principles, but they found from the beginning and are all through the Bible. And they're not to make things hard on us. It's turn around. There's one thing is I found in life. I never did like the dating scene. I never liked that much. Especially when I was a sinner, every time you date some girl, they want to get married right away. They want a first date, and they think, we're going together forever. And I really didn't like a date. Personally, I like married life. I would rather be married than date, there's some people, I don't understand these people, say, I can't stand married life. If you can put up with dating life, I think married life's a piece of cake. Dating life is terrible. You're going out there, man. It's like going through a weed field and barbed wires and everything in it. And if you're a Christian, you better get well prayed up. Oh my God! Because the things out here. There's so much deception and things going on and all kind of stuff. And you have people doing things and doing stuff. And there's people out there saying, I like married life. Some people say, be want to be single. I don't want to be single, dear Lord. And if I was single, I don't know if I want to go through the dating thing to try to get married. It's like, my God, go to a monastery somewhere and just lock yourself away and just, oh my God. Especially today, there's so much craziness out there. Oh my God! I mean, we just have this. What is it? They're supposed to be a Christian singer. This good woman. Now she's in with another woman on a TV show and that kind of stuff. That kind of things going on out here today. And this is what we got. I'll tell you what. And I just, yeah, okay. Everybody becomes a Christian. Yeah, it's all right. If I sing a song and it has the word God in it, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian singer. I'll tell you what. Let's go to Genesis, the 6th chapter. I want to look at, we're going to, a little bit more here of this chapter. Because we begin to find out, we find out that considering... It says this in verse 4 of the 6th chapter. It says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now that term renown, that doesn't mean these are good men or good people. They were renowned in their time, but you know, they were known. But that don't mean known for any good. Because we have this. It says, then the Lord saw what? When all this happened, the Lord saw the wickedness of man. That a man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy how people were going to be in the last days? Lovers themselves, rather lovers of God, went on to be, you know, children were going to be rebellious and all this kind of stuff. The more sin comes along, the worse it gets. This is where it has gotten to. It's gotten to, we have this one guy, his name's Noah, that God calls. And he's walking right. The rest of the men on the earth, now think about this, the rest of the men on the earth, their only thing in their hearts is intent to do evil. That's the only thing that's in their heart to do. It's come to this point. Now, just think, the offspring of all these other godly, all the other ones, godly, they married into other things. Noah wasn't the only kid in his family. See, people come along and they get off into stuff and they do things. And so, things aren't good. Now, they talk about giants. Now, we want to talk about these giants. See, this is why people, they make this thing, well, this must have been angel. There was giants in the land. But we need to understand this. There were giants after the flood. So all the giants died in the flood. And Noah wasn't in a family of giants. But there ends up giants after the flood. So there's giants after the flood. It couldn't have been angels, because we have no thing of angels coming over and having sex with men afterwards. But there's giants in the land. We find out that there's giants. Because we have them from a scripture standpoint. Well, let's look at what the scripture says about these. And because, you know, we know about Goliath and that stuff. But, you know, there's giants. We go back to the book of Numbers. Children of Israel coming into the land of Canaan. I'm sure there were some demonic things that had to do with that, things going on. But also, whatever men were doing. But there were giants. In Numbers 13:33 says there was, this is the children of Israel when they sent the spies into the land. And they came out and the spies said was telling the children, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And see, so were we in their sight. In other words, there was giants in the land. Now, I want you to Deuteronomy. We talk about giants. Deuteronomy gives us a good idea. We're talking about the size of these. Deuteronomy 3.11 tells us this. It says, 3.11 says, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Reba? It said of the people of Ammon, 9 cubits in length and 4 cubits in width, according to the standard cubit. And other, so they estimate his bed was probably 15.5 feet long. Now this was a boy. This is a big boy, you know. He makes the basketball players today look like midgets. I mean, they little boys. They don't even reach this guy's shoulder. They don't even come close to it. His bed's 7 feet wide. My God, people got bedrooms they know bigger than that. That was his bed. He was a big boy. Now, can you imagine somebody that's maybe about 14 feet high? He'd be standing out here and out front and has to put his head down to look in your window. He's a big boy. There's giants in the land. And it didn't come from angels having sex with men, you know. Dear Lord. It's number one. I want you to think about this. God impregnated a woman to bring a being into the world. If an angel could possibly do that, that would put off a different offspring into the earth. It would not be like men. It would be another spiritual type of being. And it would be whatever was coming. So if demons did it, it would be an eternal demon kind of thing would be living. So we know that didn't happen. This is the whole thing, is most Christianity don't know much about spirituality and how spiritual things work. It's an impossibility that could happen. That's impossible. Number one, God would have never allowed such a thing to ever happen. It would have never gone to that. because they would have been beings that wouldn't have been able to be redeemed. And but I want you to see this. And see, we look at the size of the thing. We have down here in the book of Joshua in the 13th chapter, it talks about, again, about Og. It says, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan who reigned in Ashtoth and Edrei, he says, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. So he ran those out. Those were the ones that Moses and them had fought against. But in other words, so they were fighting against giants. There were giants at that time, and it has nothing to do with angels having sex with anybody or anything like that. So there were giants at that time. And so, but we find back at this time there was giants in the land. But the important part is for us to understand the things that have gone on. What's happened here on the earth is things have gotten really perverted and out of hand. And men, it says, when you think about it, the only thoughts of their heart was to do evil. I mean, that's all there was that people thought to do. They had gotten down to that point. Now, just in a reading of the rest of Genesis 6, we read down through, and we see as God dealing with what God began to look at and said. In Genesis 6, verse 6, it said, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So he said, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. It says, but Noah what found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And said, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Now, in other words, he didn't say Noah was a perfect man. When we look at this thing, he's perfect. We're not talking about the standpoint he was perfect and did everything right. He walked in the knowledge that he had. And remember, we don't know in this time period what was available for man to know. I mean, we go back at Adam. Adam walked with God. And we don't know as how much of the knowledge that man had. But we know this. There wasn't any law. There was no law. The law hadn't been given. So man wasn't judged by the law. He wasn't judged by it. The Bible says, well, there's no law, there's no sin. So we're not dealing with the areas of sin like when we think about it. See, a lot of people look at them back then and say, oh, they did this, they did that. They didn't have a law given like we do. They didn't have, a book that they sat down and went through and, God said this and that. God spoke. Most everything was carried on by word down through it. People said things and went down through the line on that kind of stuff. But we know from Noah what was ever passed on. Noah took what was ever passed on. Now, if we looked at it, let's say a Noah in his generation, if we would, if we look at his great grandfather was Methuselah. Now, Methuselah was the oldest man. He was 969 years old. He died the exact year of the flood. And supposedly, I forget what they said his name meant. It had to do about when he dies, it'll come, something like that. In other words, the year that he died, the flood came. And so that's the time he had. Now, his son was Lamech, which was Noah's father. Now, we know that there's a huge amount of things that change from the time of the flood till after the flood. But Shem, the son, Noah's son, was 98 years old. Noah before the flood, Noah lived 905 years. He was 502 years old at the time of the flood. But he lived 950, so he was over, 300 some years over the other side of the flood. Noah lived. Now, that there is incredible. We took Shem. Shem was alive, who Noah's son Shem, who was the offspring of really the carrying of the covenant of God on the other side of the flood after Noah died. He lived 502 years after the flood. He lived 502 years. He was, when Abraham went into the land, when Abraham was 75 years old and went into the land, Shem was alive, and Shem lived, 75 years old. 75 years after, and also he was there, Abraham was 75 years old, and then he lived, which Abraham lived to be 150, I think it was, 175. He lived 175, and Shem died 75 years after Noah was in the land. Abraham was in the land. So he was alive while Abraham lived. In fact, he would have been alive up to the point where Abraham only lived 25 years beyond that. A person who lived through the flood and lived on the other side was alive all through Abraham's time. So see, their history was passed down by word, not of 47 people through something passed down. I mean, it was passed down right from people who actually lived it and were in it. It was quite a phenomenal thing. So we have what's passed down from the other side. Now, we know a lot changed. We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But after the flood, things changed enormously. The earth wasn't the same anymore. And people were surely different because we see that men's ages then started dying earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier down through. One of the things is a reason that is because of sin. The more sin works over time, it shortens people's lives. It'll shorten people's lives the more it works. And so we come down through to today of what we have. But so let's go back and we'll finish reading here. It said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God and said, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It said the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. Do you see we're doing that today? We're getting more toward violence. We have this stuff. I mean, if you take people today, I mean, people, look around just in our nation, but we're about how angry and miserable people are. I mean, if people, somebody don't agree with somebody, I mean, you know, they'd want to kill you over anything. You know, it's what people need to understand this, and we'll see it in our nation. People start killing people just because of what their beliefs and what their things are, and you're going to, there's loads of people. We have people in politics right now. If they had the chance to kill people and get away with it, they'd do it. Things are going to get, you know, things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse and worse in these areas. If you read the prophecy by Kenneth Hagin, the one that I put out, that was put there about, you know, the way things getting, he saw. If you read those things, if you read that prophecy that I put on the table back there about things turning out, he said, you know, we're not going to have more freedoms in this nation. Jesus told him we won't. You know, things are going to naturally get ugly and ugly. There's a move of God, but we need to understand this. We have a hard time grabbing a hold of it. We think this idea that if a move of God comes and it's a great move of God, we're going to be like, look at Paul's ministry. Did God use him powerfully? Everybody just loved him, didn't they? He's just wonderful. Everything just went great, didn't it? Just exciting how nice it was. Yeah. We go out and hear the sick, they're just going to love it. I'm going to tell you what. There has never been a revival that people don't put up with all kinds of junk from people. There's always those out there. They don't care how good you are doing it. They just don't want you doing it. They're following the devil, and they're going to follow the devil. And if you don't like having a hard time, stay out of the ministry for sure, because it'll just, you know, if you're a cupcake, you know, forget it. It ain't going to go well. But those things are just going to happen. We have, just like there in those times, just violence in the earth. It says, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, and make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. So he told him, this is really told him to build the ark. We're not going to go beyond that and looking at all those things that took place. But what we're doing is we're laying down a principle. If you understand these things and understand how things work, you'll understand the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation ain't some special revelation that is like something different. It's like the rest of the books. It's the same way it has been. what we're coming down? Is people going to get uglier and uglier and uglier, and judgment's going to come, and then they just get uglier and uglier? And it's the church has spent very little time understanding really the Bible and how things work and how they go. I guess most Christians think God sort of just has a coin he flips and what he's going to do, let's try this out or try. It's one thing to find God operates the same in the things. It has more to do with the pattern of what man's doing than God. Because God already set his pattern, what he does. And the laws are set in motion. It's just like the laws of gravity. We can use them as a blessing. Gravity, thank God, is a blessing. Your body and this stuff and this earth and everything operates according to this gravity. You don't want gravity to stop. You don't want gravity to even change a lot. It makes a huge difference. I'll tell you what, you'll find out. If our gravity really changed on this earth and we are having problems with gravity, I'm going to read you things, next time maybe we get together, I'll start reading things because of the time we are in the earth, of what's going on. Gravity is decreasing in our earth. So you don't talk about these things. Science don't talk. We play all these stupid games of what we think's important going on, and our earth is decaying around us. Major events are taking place in our earth. It's a huge thing. They talk about we're just going to send people up to a planet, we're going to send them up to Mars and drop them on Mars. I'm going to tell you what, that ain't going to be some sweet thing to do. These idiots talk this stuff and they know full well a lot of this is a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash because science does not prove it out. Number one, they've already, NASA has published this, NASA scientists, that they said that most of the people, by the time they got to Mars, would get so much radiation that they would probably have cancer within a short period of time. And we have all these ones. We're building the ship to go, man. We just can't wait. We're going to send it to this environment up there where the heat and cold are so extreme, and they say, if we go up 2 degrees here, you can't take it. You've got to get off this planet. There is such insanity. Such insanity. We're in a position of, there could be a polar shift in our magnetic poles on the earth are changing majorly. All kind of things that are happening. All kind of things are going on. They're concerned about the shift of the axis of the earth. Well, they don't talk about that. Why? You talk about devastation. Man, you'd be glad if carbon killed you. It's just stupid. But these things are going on, and we need to understand. It's going to continue that till sin is put away. When the millennium comes, everything stops. What happens? When sin is removed from the earth, everything comes back and blessing starts. See, that's why God has me teaching these things, because this is the principle. This is what stands. We're dealing with sin, and everybody's even most of the church world isn't dealing with it, of what the problem is of going on. Sin's a problem. Sin's destroying the earth. The earth is puking. The earth wants to vomit out the people on it. The earth can't wait for the redemption of man. It can't wait for the sons of God to show up. It can't wait for that. It wants to wait for that. We need to understand the importance of these things if we're going to, follow the principles of the Word. And that's why, when we're looking, it's like when I look at the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, I don't know why people consider it just such a mystery, a mysterious book. The only thing why it's a mystery is because people don't know the Bible. That's why it's a mystery. Do you know that the book of Revelation is a letter to the church written by Jesus himself? The only book we have that Jesus personally translated to a man, the only one specifically, and the church hardly ever reads it or ever uses the thing. And says, it's hard to understand. What on earth? No wonder it's hard to understand. Hey, 99% of the church is a bunch of knuckleheads. Why would God send us a book we can't read and can't know what it means? The only reason you can't know what it means is because people talk it up. You can't get revelation out of something you keep saying you can't, you just don't know and you can't figure this out. Well, that's why you can't, because it ain't nothing but unbelief people reading it. when I was a baby Christian. God took me over the book of Revelation and started showing me stuff. It ain't hard. It's like the rest of the Bible. It's from a God that changes not. There's nothing difficult about this stuff. What's difficult is the ignorance in the church. Babies can figure this stuff out, but we're just these great intellectuals always trying to figure things out. It ain't figured out by intellect. God said He didn't choose many of the smart ones, so quit trying to be a smart one. Let God be smart and just listen to Him. You learn things. But the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation should never be a thing that we find so difficult. Say, well, I just don't understand this thing. It's just, it's a letter written to the church of Jesus Christ. It's written to us. In the book of Revelation, really, the principles that are laid out there, much of it is already said in the Old Covenant. Things that are said in the book of Revelation have already been prophesied by prophets in the Old Testament. Already, you can go over and find the duplication of it. Have already been said about the end times and things happen. Loads of it ain't nothing new. Why? God changes not. God said this. He don't bring anything happening in the earth without telling these prophets. That's what He said. Just the church never read the Bible and found that one out. Because see, the church today, the knuckleheads don't believe in prophets anymore. We don't have the prophets anymore. Well, if we don't have the prophets anymore, then God ain't going to tell you nothing. He's still making prophets and still showing them things. And He don't do anything in the earth without first showing these prophets. And we need to understand these things. Those things change not. They don't change. And the Bible's easy. You know, it's me. I've never talked like the Bible. Never. And I'll never let it out of my mouth. I'll never say, well, it's just hard to understand. I'll never say that. I'll never let that ever come out of my mouth. God didn't make anything hard. Man has made everything hard by what they talk. Preachers, well, you just never know what God wants to do. Well, if I never know what He wants to do, I can never follow Him. So quit telling me to follow Him. Quit telling me to do anything. Because if I can never know what He's going to do, I can never have faith. So I can never please Him. Religious people are insane. And people follow them like crazy. See, if I follow somebody that says you just never know, then I'm never responsible for anything. So I can just, you know, it ain't my fault. Well, you might get away with that some here, but when you get to heaven, you ain't. You have to stand before Jesus and He's going to have some things to say to you. But read the Word. Sit down. I mean, follow the principles of the Word and understand what's going on. We're living in I would say for myself, this is the most difficult times that I've known since I've been a Christian of what's going on in the earth. I have no fears and no worries, but people who don't understand, Jesus said that men's hearts will fail them for the fear of the things coming on the earth. If you don't understand things, how they work, you will become one of the fearful people. Now, would God be hiding things from us so we would become fearful? It's an impossibility. He'd never do that to you. He'd never do that to you. I'm not going to be afraid. I know what's coming on the earth. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen on both sides. I know what's going to happen for the people that follow God, and I know what's going to happen for the people that don't. So I don't have to. I know what's going on. So I don't have to be afraid. When I see what they're doing, well, the Bible told me they were going to be doing that. They ain't surprised. I know why some people get surprised that people do. I ain't surprised at all. I ain't surprised they ain't working worse yet, but they will. But I'll tell you what, they will. There are people who act worse than what you see them doing now. You think it's bad now? Give them some time. They'll be just acting worse. Then on the other side, you're going to have people who are going to follow God and follow God close. There's going to be two camps. And I'll tell you what, they're going to be so opposite of each other. So opposite of each other. There won't be any seeker friendly. There'll be nobody in the middle of it. You'll either know who's on whose side. You'll know distinctly. Who belongs to what? You will know. See, we have dividing up now. You know. Yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm a lesbian. You know, I'm a Christian. People say that. I know what side they're on. I know what side they're on. They can say anything you want. You can call yourself, yeah, I go to McDonald's, you know, because I'm a hamburger. You can call yourself a hamburger. I don't make you a hamburger. It don't matter. You know, I'm a Christian. I live like hell. I follow hell as much as I can. Well, I'm a Christian, yes. God loves me. Yes, He'll love you the whole time you're in the lake of fire. He don't ever quit love. He just always loves. See, we got to get out from under this craziness. But there is a great divide. Don't let it throw you that it's going on. It will be that way. Don't be surprised heathens act more like heathens. It would surprise me if heathens act like saints. Wouldn't that surprise you? That would surprise me. But saints are like more like saints. The divide is here. I remember back years ago, it was very helpful to me when I said a book that was written by Charles Capps concerning the end times. But he made this statement, and they said about the homosexuals coming out of the closet. And this was back years ago. It wasn't near like today, but homosexuals, people were starting this thing off about homosexuality. And Charles Capps said, he said, the homosexual didn't come out of the closet. God brought them out of the closet. He's bringing everything to light. You need to understand, you're living in that day. You're living in the day that everything's going to be brought to light. No one's going to be able to hide their evil. Everything's going to be brought to light. We're going to see who's who and what's what. Everything gets into light. See, there was so much hid for a long time. You know, it's like we have today and that stuff like with the different denominational groups accepting homosexuality. We act like this is some kind of big deal. They have been doing this for 50 years. This isn't something that just happened. When I first came into the kingdom, down at the seminary down in Lancaster, for the Methodist Church and was it United Church of Christ or one of them? Anyhow, their seminary down in Lancaster, they had homosexuals were their professors in their college, known homosexuals. See, they've been having them in all the time. They've been having this stuff going on all the time. They've been working this stuff in all along. Had a minister came out of the guy. No, the guy. He said, we had said they say we're openly homosexuals. He said they would curse you out in class, call you everything in the book. He said such foul mouth left. He said that's what was going on in these places. Oh, that's 50 years ago. People act like these places just got to be like they are now. No, they haven't. They've been like this for years. It's all been in darkness. Now it's in the light. Now they're coming out and showing what they really are. They have been this all the time. They have been this. And if anybody said anything about it years ago, you're not walking in love. Oh, you don't walk in love with your brother. They ain't my brothers. They're not my brothers. You go ahead and have them, and you're going to end up where they go. I'm not going where they go. See, we're allowed to say anything because you've got to walk in love with them, and walk in love is a tolerant. No, I don't. Once a person calls himself a Christian, Paul said, I have a demand of what I'm supposed to expect out of them. If they're immoral, I'm not as much as supposed to eat with them. That's the Bible. God ain't fellowshipping with him. What are you doing fellowshipping with him? See, this is the craziest thing in the world. We're running around people. Once they call themselves a Christian, Paul said if you get a so-called brother, in other words, once a person calls themselves a Christian, then we're supposed to, hey, there's a certain lifestyle that they're supposed to be living. And if they ain't living it, we're supposed to be drawing lines. See, the heathen in the world, I don't put that judgment on them. They're heathens. That's the way they are. Their father's the devil. Jesus ate with sinners, but if those guys would have said they were saints, he'd have never ate with them if they'd lived sinful lives. He didn't like eating with the Pharisees because why? They acted like they were religious, but they lived like the guys that didn't know God. So he didn't hang around with them. You see, we all these things, this stuff has been going on. It's coming to light now. We're getting to see what's been going on for years and years and years and years. These things, and we're seeing it in our age and act like something's new has changed. No, it's just coming to light. It's part of the age of the time. It's the time we're living in. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for instructing us in the Word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for opening the eyes of our understanding. Father, because truly in this day and time, Lord, we can't walk in the darkness of the past. We can't walk in the things of the past that men did, said, and Father God, we need to understand and know what you're doing. Father, because how on earth would we do your will and walk in your way if we don't know your plans and your purposes? We don't know how you conduct yourself. But Lord God, you want to reveal to us the things, Lord God, concerning your kingdom and how you operate and what you do. Lord God, so we can walk in them in these days and times. And Lord God, I thank you for not hiding these things from us. Father, I thank you that you're separating us to yourself. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're setting a people apart for yourself that belong to you, that are yours. And Lord God, a people that you desire to pour your glory out into. Because Lord, in these last days, there will be a remnant that's rising up, walking in your glory. And Father, I want to thank you that many heathens, many who don't know Christ, will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the glory of God revealed. Lord God, and I want to thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for fine-tuning us. Thanking you for opening the eyes of our understanding. Thank you for revealing to us the things that are going on and happening. Lord God, so we can walk in your ways, follow your purposes. And Lord God, Lord, we have a lot of ideas or things, Lord, that we might think. And some of them may be right, some may be wrong. But Lord God, we want to measure them all against the Word. We want to measure them all against what the truth is. Because we know this, to know the truth is what makes men free. And Lord God, to walk in the freedom that you have planned for us, we thank you that you're taking the time to reveal these things to us. You are opening and fold and unfolding the Word, Lord God, that things are becoming plain to us, Lord God, that when we open these scriptures to read, Father God, we can plainly see what you're saying and doing. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.